Here's Nancy Lee DeMoss.
You know what? Some of the younger women are just way too busy today. And I say that about myself sometimes, just way too busy to be doing the kind of praying we ought to be doing. But some of these women who are in that older season of life, some of them widowed, some of them very alone, but crying out to the Lord night and day as Anna did, God is hearing those prayers.
This is Revive Our Hearts with Nancy Lee DeMoss for Monday, December 24th. In the book of Luke, we read about Anna, who had been told she would see the Messiah in her lifetime. She's a picture to us of patience and aging gracefully, and we studied her life last week on Revive Our Hearts. The series is called Anna, the Woman Who Welcomed Christ. Nancy is ending the series talking with her friend Holly Eliff and other listeners about women they know who remind them of the saint from Luke 2.
Holly, there's a woman who some of these women will remember used to come to many of our recording sessions, who is another type of modern-day Anna. And we were talking about her last night, Suzanne Dudgeon. Some of you know her. And Holly, tell us a little bit about. She was a member of the church that your husband pastors for a number of years.
Right. And they were on our staff at our church for several years before they moved to Florida to help with their grandchildren. But some of you might remember Suzanne as the cheerleader of Revive Our Hearts, because after each recording session, every session Nancy did, at the end of it, Suzanne would start applauding. And so we had to always stop and wait for Suzanne to quit applauding before Nancy could go on to the next session. And I imagine you miss that now.
Yes.
But she is such a prayer warrior. She carries on her heart the lives of so many other people. And Nancy and I were chatting about the fact that both of us just receive notes from her randomly every once in a while saying, I'm praying for you about this. Sometimes I don't even know how she finds out what's going on in my life to be able to write me a note about it, but she always does.
She certainly has been praying for us today while we've been recording, at
right.
least if it's typical. I'll get a note from her within the next couple of weeks saying, oh, you recorded, and I just heard such and such on Revive Our Hearts on the air, and then she'll tell me what's going on in Holly's family. I have to learn the news from this woman. That's not gossip. It's stuff she's praying about and really carries
right.
on her heart.
And she is so faithful just to lift the arms of other women and families. And it's not that she doesn't have a family of her own to care for, because she does. But she is just has a big heart for other people and is so faithful to let God use her in very simple ways to just pray and lift up the arms of those that are walking through good things or bad things. You
She's
know,
an encourager.
Sometimes you just get a note that has smiley faces all over it after every sentence. and she's rejoicing with you. Other times she'll just say, you're on my heart. I'm praying for you about this. And so it doesn't have to be a huge, major thing, but she consistently just passes on the joy of the Lord to other people.
And I don't know how many notes she writes. I don't know how many people she writes notes to, but I know how many she writes me. And Monica's waving back there. She gets notes. Holly gets notes. And I suppose if we were to add them all up.
Sticky notes.
Sometimes
4, 5, or 6
note.
Of them,
yep.
sometimes piled up. And I wonder how many. She will hear this, by the way, someday, Lord willing. But
I wonder, Suzanne.
How many notes she is writing to people to spread encouragement and God's grace into other lives. It's a neat thing, neat ministry at that season of her life. My grandmother was that way, by the way. The only grandparent I ever knew was my mother's mother, Granny, we called her, and she would write notes. She'd get sometimes one of these form letters from a ministry that would be thanking them for their contribution or something like that. She would return that letter to the ministry with her handwritten scrawling around the page, every different direction, and just writing notes of blessing and encouragement. And I can see that handwriting today.
And just a little side note here, for those of you who have no idea where a stamp and an envelope and a piece of paper would be, but you're on your computer a lot, especially in this last season of our life, I have gotten so many neat messages by email just from gals all over the place saying, just want you to know I'm praying. And so if you don't have time to find a stamp, but you're on your computer, if God prompts your heart about somebody, take a minute and just let them know that you're lifting their arms, that you're praying for them.
Mm-hmm. I'm thinking about a woman who's been with the Lord for many years now, Laura Munz, who's she and her husband were good friends of my parents, and they were family friends. And I just am remembering a note she wrote me when I was a little girl. I don't even remember what the occasion was. It may have been a birthday. I'm not sure. But challenging me to memorize one verse a week. And she said, if you do it, each verse will be like a pearl. And at the end of a year, you will have 52 pearls. And I can't say that I started on that pattern, but it was the kind of influence in my life that got me loving God's word, loving to memorize the scripture. You don't know just the impact on even little ones that we as older women, I'm sure to some little ones, I seem like a very old woman, and but that we can have in just the, we had a little one here, 10-year-old here in the session, recording session with her mom yesterday, and she heard me reference being dedicated to the Lord in Chattanooga, Tennessee. And she came up to me and she said, I was born in Chattanooga, Tennessee. And so we met her and I just had a moment exchange with her between two of the teaching sessions and just took a moment to tell her how glad I was she was here studying God's word and that one day maybe God would want to use her as a Bible teacher. And I'm sure I seem elderly to a 10-year-old, but you don't know the mark that even those little things that as older women we leave in the lives of younger ones can make. And she may be teaching the Bible years from now and blessing others and saying to some group, there was this old lady with gray hair who was, and I went to this long session where she taught a long time. But that's the thing of life to life. That's how we disciple and nurture and train. And it is older women to younger women, passing that on. So it's the impact that our lives can have on those of the next generation. And what you just said reminded me of that, all that.
When I was a little girl in the church, we had these old gray-haired ladies, and they seemed to know the Bible so well, and they seemed to this and that. And I can remember that when I was a teenager, that my mother was urging me to go to a school dance. And I said, no, there's got to be something wrong with dancing. These older ladies don't think it's right. And they influenced me for that. And then as I grew older, and there was a couple of old ladies in my life. I was probably in my 30s or early 30s. And they were good friends, and they were sort of opposites. One was very laconic, and the other one was a lady that was very active and wanting to do good and things, and she loved missionaries and she loved prayer. And we would have prayer meetings together, and she would read the missionary letters. She wouldn't let us have them because she wanted us to be sure we heard them and we would really read them. So she read them to us, and then we had all this prayer. And I later came to realize she influenced me far beyond anything I had any idea at the time. But she just did because of the way she lived.
You know, speaking of older women and prayer, there are older women in many of our churches who are, I think, probably the engine room for anything good that's happening in the life of that church because they're women of prayer. And they're not usually the ones who are on the committees or running things or making things happen from any visible standpoint, but behind the scenes, praying. And I'm thinking back to the college, when I went to University of Southern California, my last 2 years of college, and lived with a Christian family there in Southern California, attended a church, and got very plugged into that church. There were two elderly ladies in that church who were identical, and I mean identical, twin sisters. To the hilt, I never could tell them apart. I never knew which one was which. And their names escape my mind right now. It's been a few years, but they would always dress to the T identically. I'm talking handbags, shoes, hats, everything, and always just everything in place. And every time I saw them, they were always just like, I mean, just a mirror image of each other. But these were two women who had a deep longing for God to send revival to the church. And they prayed and they prayed and they prayed. And they had a little prayer meeting. I think it was maybe Wednesday nights that it met. I can't remember for sure. But one time a week. And it was a large church and a very small prayer meeting, but that they had been carrying on for years. And as far as I know, they carried it on certainly as long as they were physically able to. And it was just a small group of women in that church, spearheaded by these elderly women, pouring out their hearts to God, pleading with Him to come and visit that church in revival. And when God does come and send revival in our day, I really believe that in the annals of heaven, the ones who will get the credit will be ladies like those two ladies, who older women like Anna, in the temple, fasting and praying night and day for the bridegroom to come, for God to visit His people. And so the prayers of those older women, and I know we're speaking to some of those older women who listen to Revive Our Hearts. Can I just say, don't stop praying. We need your prayers. You know what? Some of the younger women are just way too busy today. And I say that about myself sometimes, just way too busy to be doing the kind of praying we ought to be doing. But some of these women who are in that older season of life, some of them widowed, some of them very alone, but crying out to the Lord night and day as Anna did, God is hearing those prayers. He will water those prayers and those tears with His grace. And in time, you may not live to see the answer. Anna did. You may not, but one day you will see there will be the answer to those prayers.
And let me just issue a challenge to those younger women, maybe moms who think they don't have time to start becoming an Anna. Let me encourage you that you do. And look, pursue those little moments, whether you are sorting dirty socks or in the car
waiting.
You don't
sort dirty socks, do you?
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Dirty
oh,
ones
yeah.
you sort?
Oh, yeah, because they're not turned inside out, and if you don't open them, then there's like 4 inches of grass on the bottom
okay.
of the socks.
Okay, what do I know?
Yeah, so yes, you do.
Okay, while you're sorting dirty socks, here's what you do.
So, you know, what you're not going to have are those large blocks of quiet to pray, so don't wait for those. But you will have tiny moments of quiet. Sometimes I have to go in my closet to get those, but you will have tiny moments of quiet. And so take advantage of developing the heart to be an Anna as you get older. But it doesn't start when you're 50. It starts when you're 20 something, or whatever age you are in between there and 81, like Miss Dorothy. It starts as you develop a heart after God and start applying those truths to your life, even in little spaces, so that by the time you have more space, eventually, unless God gives you a bunch of kids, and then it's a long time before you get space. But take the moments you can find. And it's not so much the amount of time, it's the direction of your heart.
Yeah. That's good. Good word. And by the way, let me say also to some of us as younger women, look for the Annas. Yes. And see what you can learn from them. Listen to them. Ask them to pray for you. I've got some of those Annas praying in my life. I developed a heart and love for Mom Jay as an older woman, and she impacted my life because I took time out, little pieces of time over the years, to connect with her, to learn from her. I made a special trip while I was in California up to Santa Barbara. I took an extra half a day to do it. I loved her. I wanted to be with her, but I also knew it was valuable for me. And it was. She impacted my life, just getting around those people and sometimes just asking them to share out of their life with you, share with them, asking questions. You can learn a lot from those, from women who've been further down the road than we have been.
From the moment I was saved, she was my Sunday school teacher and then became my very closest friend. She is one of the most talented women I know. Her Bible, you can hardly read the original print because it is so marked. And I mean, that's not just in the New Testament, that is from Genesis to Revelation. when she came into the classroom because of her gift of art. If she was in the book of Daniel, I cannot begin to describe the graphic art that accompanied the lesson and was distributed to us who sat with her. She had a tremendous heart for missions. I mean, everything she did 150%, and she gave every ounce of her being to the Lord. She was such an encourager to me. I can't remember why she did this, but maybe I was going through a rough patch at that time. But she sent me a little bottle, and attached to it was "He hides your tears in a bottle." Then one Christmas, she gave me this portrait of a warrior, and she said, "What do you think?" And I said, "Well, it's great." She said, "Well, it's you." And I said, "Me?" And she had taken a business card and put my face and drawn the helmet of salvation, breastplate of righteousness, girth of shoes of peace. And she had done a warrior. I mean, she had gone to that much trouble. Now, beyond that, every single Christmas, she would hand paint her Christmas cards. She would sketch the drawing, mimeograph or copy the drawing, and then colour in every single card. And she sent between 300 and 400 cards. She would start doing her cards in August. She opened up her home. This woman has so much talent. But what she brought to my life was a heart that was able to forgive when I disappointed her. A person that would pray for me on the phone if I needed support, or if I was going out on a visit, she would always pray for me. And she has never stopped loving me, encouraging me. And so, like you, I make my special trips to my Anna. I plan to, it's her birthday next week, and I have planned to go and visit my Anna next week. And I cherish who she is in Christ, even though she is not fully comprehending everything now. Her memory is gone, and she'll ask you the same question over and over again. But her patience has been astounding with me, and I never want to lose my patience with her. And I praise God for putting her in my life.
As you listen to today's discussion, who came to your mind? Is there an older woman who has been pointing you to Jesus through her example? Some Revive Our Hearts listeners have been telling us about those kinds of examples. They're wrapping up a teaching series from Nancy Lee DeMoss called Anna, the Woman Who Welcomed Christ. If you missed any of the series, you can listen to it or read the transcripts at reviveourhearts.com. You can also order the CD when you visit the site. If you've been to reviveourhearts.com this month, you've probably noticed the question, will you be part of the story? Each day, we've posted a different story about the way God is working in women's lives. We think it's a great way to end 2012, thanking God for authoring moving stories in women's lives. If you visit reviveourhearts.com today, you'll see a video from a woman named Jessica. Jessica entered 2012 very busy, working full-time, going to school, and helping her husband in ministry. Underneath that frenetic pace, some problems were brewing. She had a desire to control situations around her, which affected her marriage and other relationships. From a young age, she had learned how to manipulate.
Ever since I was a little girl, I would manipulate things, and how I would do it is, if I was mad, I would start thinking, oh, if I killed myself or if I hurt myself, then they would be sorry. When I was, you know, 7, as far back as I can remember, I remember saying, I don't want to clean my room. What if I just threw myself out this window? Then they would be sorry. And I did that throughout my marriage. I've been married 3 years now, and when my husband would make me mad, I would get mad and say, I just want to end this, like, then he'll be sorry. And those types of thoughts really started to take hold in my life.
In February, she says her busy schedule came to a screeching halt when her son was born. Suddenly, she had long periods at home with a lot less activity. This gave her more time to listen to what God was saying. And during that time, she discovered Revive Our Hearts.
I just started listening to it more and more, and God just broke me and showed me my sin and put in me a burden just to pray for him and for my family. And I'm ever since then, I've been listening to Revive Our Hearts almost every day. Sometimes I'll catch up and I'll send like five a day while I'm cleaning house. But it's just started to transform me. And by June, I signed up to do the 30-day husband encouragement challenge because I had been convicted that I wasn't treating him right. And through that, I didn't expect anything to change, but it did. And in just like 2 weeks, I had already, he was saying things like, "You're such a good wife. I don't deserve to have someone." And it's just because I was loving him and not tearing him down. And I know it's been God, and I know it's been more than the 30-day challenge, but the fact that it started with that and an intentional decision to stop nagging and to stop pestering and stop complaining and just love, and that's where things flourish.
Jessica wrote to Revive Our Hearts, "I'm so excited about what God is doing in my life. I feel I have truly experienced revival. And I feel like God is beginning to do something great in my life, in my family, and the people around me. Thank you for your ministry and for sharing truth." Nancy, it's exciting to hear another example of how God can take a woman who wants to manipulate those around her and then transform her heart. It affects her, her husband, and generations to come.
And Leslie, I hope our listeners will watch the video that tells Jessica's story. Here at the end of the year, we've been celebrating some of the stories of what God's been doing through the ministry of Revive Our Hearts. And all those videos are available on our website, reviveourhearts.com. I have to tell you that my heart has been so encouraged as our team has put together these stories, these testimonies of God helping women discover, embrace, and delight in Christ. And I think you'll be encouraged by these stories as well. They demonstrate so clearly that nothing is impossible with God. Now, there are lots and lots of women out there just like Jessica. They're setting the direction of their lives. They're making important decisions about marriage and family. And during that season, these younger women need to be discipled in God's Word. You can be part of the story that God is writing in these younger women's lives. You can do that by supporting Revive Our Hearts and helping us make resources available to mentor and disciple these young women. Resources like the daily broadcast and podcast, our websites and blogs, conferences, videos, and other resources. We can only offer those kinds of resources as long as listeners like you make it possible through your generous financial support. And we especially need to hear from you during this last week of December while we're asking the Lord to help us exceed a matching challenge of $450,000. If you'd like to be a part of what God is doing in writing these stories and to help us continue and expand this outreach into women's lives, visit us online at reviveourhearts.com and let us know you'd like to make a donation here at year end. Or you can do that by giving us a call at 1-800-569-5959. Again, that's 1-800-569-5959.
Well, we hope you have a very meaningful Christmas Day tomorrow. Nancy will tell you the story of a teacher who made a decision while casting a Christmas pageant. Then she thought, "Oh no, what have I done?" She'll tell you that Christmas story tomorrow. Please be back for Revive Our Hearts. Revive Our Hearts with Nancy Lee DeMoss is an outreach of Life Action Ministries.